7654321.
It's now time for the Pony Cake Sports Podcast with your hosts, Josh Stevens, Tim Thompson, and Tom Schultz. Woo!
Hey there, everybody. We are back with another episode, and we are doing the NFC East. And if you guys have not checked out our podcast from last week, we did the AFC East last week. This week, NFC East. So we have Philadelphia Eagles on tap for today.
Hi, Josh.
How's it going, Tim?
It's going good, man. How the heck are you?
Oh, just living the dream since you're here with me.
I know, Josh, you just love having me around. It's NFC East, the very first day. I'm so excited. I just love talking football. And we are halfway through the offseason, guys. We're halfway home, baby.
It's funny that you say that I'm happy to see you, because actually earlier today, I said that I wanted to slap you with a waffle iron.
You did say that. You weren't very happy. I love, stirring the pot. And Tom gets it. He likes to call me stupid and say, you know, aggressive things back. But I know Tom is just kind of joking because he likes to laugh like I do. Josh, you get actually very, very upset.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I dropped an F-bomb.
probably like 10 of them.
Oh, you get so mad. It's so great. If people saw our group chats, they would probably be a little bit disgusted, laugh a little bit, and overall just be pretty disappointed in themselves.
Yeah, pretty much. Tom, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. It's good to see you, Josh.
Good. Same here. I don't want to slap you with a waffle iron.
Wow. Okay. Well,
Tim, I love you.
I know you do.
I know you're upset that the Buccaneers are not in the NFC East like you thought earlier. But
I know. All right. I never thought they were in the NFC East, you assholes. We're not going to get into it right now. We'll get into it later when we get to a certain team.
All right. Let's get on to it. The 7-9 from last year, Philadelphia Eagles. We're going to talk about them. Led by head coach Doug Peterson, and of course, rookie sensation from last year, Carson Wentz. And let's talk about a couple of things that they did this year, some of the players that they gained and some of the players that they lost, all right? So, some of the players that they let go in free agency. They ended up letting go of Chase Daniel, quarterback. He ends up signing with New Orleans Saints, goes back to the Saints, backing up Drew Brees. Kenyon Barner, he ends up leaving, goes to the Chargers. Connor Barwin, he goes to the Rams.
Yep.
Benny Logan, he goes to Kansas City. And then Nolan Carroll, corner, he ends up going to Dallas. So, again, that was a place where Dallas needed a corner. Signed a pretty decent deal there for him, $10 million, 3 years, so not bad for them. The acquired players that they have here, actually pretty decent signings for the group for the Eagles. They have, I'm going to just start off with the top two, Alshon Jeffrey and Torrey Smith. Alshon Jeffrey signed in there for 1 year, pretty much a prove it deal for $9.5 million. And I thought Torrey Smith was going to be signed for a 1 year deal as well, but he was signed for a 3 year deal for $15 million. So pretty crazy there. I thought Alshon would have gotten at least of a 2 year deal, but giving 3 years to Torrey Smith was kind of a shock to me.
It's good to see that the Eagles are investing in putting weapons around their young quarterback, Carson Wentz. That's something important. We see a lot of teams that fail to do that year after year, and their quarterback struggles. Carson Wentz had a pretty good rookie year, started off hot, and then kind of simmered down a little bit, but he has a lot better weapons this year, and I think he's going to progress nicely for the Eagles.
So the Philadelphia Eagles got a little bit lucky. One, the money that they paid to Torrey Smith, again, I like they're adding a deep threat there for Carson Wentz, like you said. In terms of Alshon Jeffrey, you're a little bit, you know, surprised that he didn't get the long-term contract. It was strictly because he only wanted a big deal. He had a terrible year last year. The Bears were offering him a very similar contract that he said, they think that around 1 year, $15 million, something like that. What do you get, 12.5 from the Eagles or something like
nine
that?
Nine and a half.
So the Bears might have been offering him 12.5. I know the Bears were offering him more money. He said no, he wanted the long-term deal. So this is kind of just a big FU move by Alshon. Basically, hopes to go out, put up a big year with the Eagles, and then get the big money next year. So
another big signing that they just did was LeGarrette Blount. They signed him to a one-year deal, $1.25 million.
And all the beat writers have been saying for months now, Ryan Matthews will be cut. Most likely, that will be happening soon, and Blount should be taking the role as the lead back there in Philadelphia.
A couple other signings that they had was quarterback Matt McGloin coming from Oakland. Good depth guy. And then also they signed Nick Foles. Again, going back to Philly, two-year deal, $11 million. Again, a quarterback that kind of knows the system, familiar with the Eagles, familiar with some of the players that are there. Good signing to back up Wentz. Some of the defensive side here, we have Chris Long going from a championship team to the Eagles, 2 years for $4.5 million. And then we have Chance Warmack, offensive guard. He signs there for a one-year deal. And then, Patrick Robinson from the Colts, he ends up going there as well for 1 year.
And they also had a trade with the Ravens for Timmy Jernigan. A D-tackle replacing Benny Logan. And then the Chris Long is replacing, what's his name? You just brought him up. The D-lineman.
Oh, Connor Barwin?
Yeah, there you go.
Yep.
Yeah, no, listen, I think the Eagles did a good job at whatever they lost, they gained back, you know, and kind of equivalent. They definitely took a drastic step in the wide receiver core. A whole core. They actually have a core of wide receivers now. It's not just Jordan Matthews, you know, strictly the person being focused on. So I like that. Obviously, the addition of LeGarrette Blount is humongous for them. So
yeah, it's kind of funny that you bring up Jordan Matthews because he goes from theoretically the number one wide receiver last year to potentially the number three on this team, but he should fall right into the slot wide receiver, which we all, I believe, think that he is more destined for.
Yeah, I'm sick of seeing him try to line up outside and beat those outside corners. Him in the slot, just tearing apart the middle of the field is where he's going to make his money, and that's where we've seen him succeed a lot in the NFL. So I think it's good for him, and Elshon's going to require a lot of double teams out there. Same with Torrey Smith. Teams are going to have to put safeties back because that dude is still fast. Still very fast. One of the fastest receivers in the league. So this is good for Jordan Matthews.
All right. Well, enough of the free agency talk. Let's go right into another part of the team or another part of the offseason that can make an impact. And that is, of course, the 2017 NFL Draft. Tom.
First of all the Philly fans that were at the draft, good job. You guys put one hell of a show on. You guys should get it again next year. Philadelphia as a whole outdid Chicago the past 2 years, and I'm happy for you guys. In the first round, they picked edge rusher Derek Barnett. In all honesty, I think this pick was based more on need than best player available. I don't think he was the best player on their board, but they needed an edge rusher. He fits the scheme. He's going to be able to start day one if they need him to. They're going to have a nice rotation on that D-line. And if you compare Derek Barnett and Myles Garrett, the number one pick in this draft, compare their SEC production, and you would probably believe that Derek Barnett should have been the number one overall pick in this draft. He's not a workout warrior. He doesn't have the athleticism that you normally want from your premier edge rusher, but he gets the job done. Complete football player. He wins a lot with his ball get off, good at jumping the snap, has pretty good bend, does solid in the run game. It's hard to hate on Derek Barnett. He brings a lot to the table, and he's going to be a lifelong Eagle. They're going to keep him around, and he's going to help transform that defense. Overall, I like the pick, and you really can't hate on a guy who broke Reggie White's sack record at Tennessee in 3 years. Enough said.
I like Derek Barnett much more than you guys did during our breakdown prior to the draft. With that being said, I wasn't a fan of the pick. I thought that the Eagles could have really solidified that secondary with one of the corners that was still available. I guess kind of what we thought was going to happen with how deep the cornerback class was, everyone was going to wait. That's what happened. So, you know, someone like Derek Barnett, like you said, Tom, you see Myles Garrett and you see their stats and you think, oh, hey, you know, who's the number one pick overall? But you watch Derek Barnett's tape. And it just, he has impressive results. He doesn't have impressive tape. He doesn't do anything that you're like, oh my gosh, look at that. But he gets the job done. He gets sacks like Tom alluded to. He broke Reggie White's all-time sack record at Tennessee. I love Derek Barnett. Interested to see what he's able to do as an Eagle.
Yeah, I had the same thing with Barnett. I had him go into the Saints, I believe, and I really thought before the Saints traded down that was possibly a way they could have gone. And then, you know, Barnett going there, that's not something I thought was going to happen. I thought they were definitely going to go in the secondary, just like Tim said. But him landing there just makes a lot of sense. They want to rebuild that defense, and doing that with Barnett makes a ton of sense, especially with some of the picks that they made after that. So
Personally, I think if Gary and Conley, if that whole fiasco didn't take place, he would have been their pick.
Yeah.
But that's my two cents. In the second round, the Eagles needed to find a corner. And they got a corner who didn't allow a touchdown pass in 2016. That's pretty good. That's something you want to add to your team.
Yeah, I think that's okay.
Yeah. But this player also tore his Achilles at his pro day. That's Sidney Jones from Washington. Before the injury, though, Sidney Jones was getting top 15 hype, and it was well-deserved. He's a corner. He's fantastic at man coverage. Great ball skills. He's good footwork balance. Awesome hips. Got recovery speed. He's pretty much a total package. Positive player against the run. There's a good chance, though, that Sidney Jones is going to miss all of 2017, which really sucks. They spent a lot to get him, a second-round draft pick. Normally, those guys are brought in to start, and they normally get tons of playing time. But overall, he's got the ceiling, in my eyes, of a Pro Bowl-type cornerback, and I think it's a good pick.
It's a good pick if and only if they're going to put him on the PUP list and let him sit all year.
Yeah.
Do not even consider bringing him back. I don't care if you're pushing for the NFC East title, I don't care. He is a special, special talent, like Tom alluded to, but he needs time. The Achilles injury is a very, very serious injury that the best thing, if you look up the best thing for an Achilles injury, it doesn't matter how a player is feeling, is rest. Let it fully heal, and bringing him back too early and then suffering even a partial tear that needs to have, you know, some type of surgery, anything, is detrimental to his entire career. If I'm Sidney Jones, I'm saying, hey, I am taking this year off, and that's it. End of story.
Yeah, we said it was a possibility that the Eagles could have traded back up into round one and snag him at the very late of round one. And I was kind of shocked that he was still available later on at the pick that he was there. So Sidney Jones is a baller. You know, he was a slam dunk first round talent, and then getting injured, it is what it is. But next year, he'll be fully healthy, hopefully, and he'll be that corner that they pair up with the next pick we're going to talk about.
The Eagles really needed to get a cornerback ready to play this year. They invested in the corner in the second round, Sidney Jones. He's not going to be playing. Jalen Mills and Patrick Robinson aren't long-term solutions for the Philadelphia Eagles. In the third round, they got cornerback Rasul Douglas from West Virginia. I like him. He led the nation in 2016 in interceptions. He had 8. He's a big physical ball hawk corner. He's going to compete and possibly play day one, get him in on nickel and dime situations. He's going to need to work on his press man coverage, though. Struggled a lot in college, and the Eagles are going to have him in that situation a lot, especially in that system. He's a very, very willing tackler, though. He's not going to struggle at taking ball carriers down. Dude's big, 6'2", I think like 205, 210 pounds, but overall good value in the third round.
Comes out of the Big 12, like you said, Tom. He had 8 interceptions last year at West Virginia. He can tackle. He's the type of guy who you can throw in there right away in the third round, a compensatory pick. Fantastic. You have him go in there, learn. He's probably going to get beat up. He's going to get burned a couple times. He's going to have some time adjusting to the NFL. But him and Sidney Jones in 2 years, after Sidney Jones gets a full year under his belt, I like both of them as a 1-2 corner punch.
Yeah, especially with Sidney Jones being more of your traditional cover corner, and Rasul Douglas is one of those physical corners that can come up and smack you in the mouth. Plus, you said he had the 8 interceptions his last year, right? That was his first year as being a starter.
Yep.
So could you imagine what he could have done if given the opportunity to be a starter the year before, or if he stayed one more year, what we could have seen from there?
Yeah, he's got all the traits you really want when you're looking at big-time cornerbacks, the size, the length. Didn't test the greatest. Well, his 40, he was high 4.5s, but besides that, he's got all the traits you're really looking for.
And I like the fact he goes against Oklahoma's offense, Baylor's offense, Texas Tech,
teams that
Texas,
pass.
Actual passing teams. He's someone who knows how to play the position. I like it.
In the fourth round, they got wide receiver Mac Collins. He's going to be a special teams guy right away. I think he's going to make this team. He's big. He's 6'4", 6'5". But from everything I've heard at the Senior Bowl, all coaches were talking about was this kid and what he can do on special teams. And in the fourth, they got Danelle Pumphrey, leading rusher in FBS history. Smaller guy, 5'9", 180 pounds. He'll get a chance. A lot of people are saying he's going to get that Darren Sproles role. But what do you guys think of Pumphrey?
Yeah, there's something wrong with that because there's still Darren Sproles on that team. So As much as I do like Pumphrey, I think he's going to end up being a return guy, just like how you said with Hollins. Hollins will be a special teamer. But Pumphrey, when he does have the ball in his hands, and if you guys haven't watched him, I know you've seen a little bit of tape on him. Tim, have you watched quite a bit?
A very little bit.
The kid is electric when he gets the ball in his hands. And there was actually one play, I believe, in the Senior Bowl where he ran into, what was it? Obi Melanfamu. He ends up hitting him. And Obi goes backwards, and it was something I never thought I would see. I was like, oh, my God, Pumphrey's going to get crushed. And he ran Obi Melanfamu over, and I thought that was pretty impressive that he does have the ability to truck someone over and still continue the play.
Yeah, you know, the Eagles are in a little bit of a, not a cap situation, but, you know, Pumphrey's going to have to learn from Darren Sproles this year. Listen, Sproles is 33, but all $4 million of his contract this year is all guaranteed. So the Eagles aren't going to cut him. They have Blunt, they have Sproles, they have Pumphrey. He's going to have to learn from learn from Sproles as he, you know, and go into 2018 and kind of, I'm assuming, take over that role on the special team side.
The Eagles also added another wide receiver in the fifth round, Shelton Gibson. Dude's all about speed. Not very he's not really a technician. He's going to have to learn a lot, but he's a big play threat waiting to happen. And the sixth round pick, one of my favorite day three picks, was the Elijah Qualls pick, nose tackle from Washington. Eagles use a heavy rotation in their D-line. They need depth across that, and that's exactly what this guy's going to do. Jim Schwartz is one of the best D-line coaches in the NFL. He runs that whole defense, but that dude gets everything out of his D-line. He coaches them up and does a very good job with that. I think that was a steal in the sixth round.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that. With that being said, guys, out of all the draft picks that the Eagles did have, which one's your favorite and, I guess, best value? I mean, it's kind of tough because you're looking at the later rounds. Somebody like Hollins or Humphrey or Gibson, you know, could or could not make the team, but some of them could be decent value.
My favorite was Douglas in the third. You know, not one of the cornerbacks that people were necessarily talking about. There were a lot of names up front. It was a very deep cornerback class, like we said. One of those guys that kind of got looked over, but still a very, very great cornerback. Only 1 year of experience starting full-time at West Virginia. But like we said, someone who can come in, he can tackle, he's faced past heavy teams. He's someone who I think is going to be a solid cornerback in the league for years to come. Not necessarily a Pro Bowl-esque cornerback, but someone who's going to play the position and fill a role.
For me, it has to be the Sidney Jones pick. I'm totally aware that he's probably going to miss the whole season, but this is a pick investing in the future of the Eagles. They are trying to build a younger roster. Their quarterback's going into his second year. Most likely they're not going to compete to win a Super Bowl this year, but Sidney Jones is going to help that defense out tremendously in the years to come, in years 2, 3, and 4 of his contract, and he's going to end up getting paid. I think he's that good.
That pick was very, very similar to the 2016 Cowboys pick of Jalen Smith.
Yep.
It's almost going to be like a free pick. They're going to go into the 2018 season with a rookie, so to speak, that is ready to come in and instantly fill a role and be an impact player.
It's like an extra first-round pick it for is, 2018,
absolutely.
In all honesty.
Yeah, he was, you know, going in, Sidney Jones going into the draft, in most of our eyes, was the second-best cornerback in the draft.
Yeah, same here. He was definitely second best corner, and then him for him to drop there. I mean, you look at it. You're getting an extra guy next year, just like you said. It's an added bonus. So
you got to think all the teams in the NFC East right now. All of them can pass the football. You got big time wide receivers. Look at the Giants with OBJ, Brandon Marshall, Sterling Shepard, Evan Ingram, tons of weapons. Dallas, they still have Dez Bryant. He's a monster. And Redskins just reloaded on the wide receiver front. They're going to need guys that can cover in this division.
I got to say the Eagles, I think, got pretty lucky with Rasul Douglas there.
Oh, yeah.
Where they got him, because he was, you know, third round, pick 35 in that round. And then you have corners Cam Sutton, Tankersley, Jordan Lewis, Shaq Griffin, Moreau. All those guys were drafted ahead of them, or ahead of him. I think Douglas could have easily went ahead of every single one of those guys. So for them to land him where they got him was pretty good.
In a normal cornerback draft class, this one was freaky good. Tons of guys with day one potential. In a normal draft class, he probably would have been a second-round pick, an early second-round pick. Just with all his traits, his size, teams love that, and you need that now in the NFL. So, yeah, getting him in the third is an absolute steal.
So we're talking about some of the rookies. We're talking about some of the offseason moves. They both had some big things. Let's go ahead and move on to the fantasy aspect with all these extra weapons that Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson now have at their disposal. Tim, I guess you can go ahead.
Thanks, Josh. I appreciate that. So let's start with the newest addition, right? LeGarrette Blount. That's the big question. How will LeGarrette Blount play in the Philadelphia Eagles offense? Outside of the New England Patriots, he hasn't been necessarily successful, right? I mean, he had his time with the Buccaneers. With the Buccaneers, the best season that he had was 6 touchdowns. That was his rookie year. 5 after that, and then he went to the Patriots, had a great year, set over 700 yards, 7 touchdowns, played well, and then went to the Steelers and kind of fell off everyone's radar, right? Went back to New England, had a 2014 kind of getting his feet back under him, was suspended, I believe, for a while, wasn't he?
Him and LeGarrette Blount.
No, him
or Le'Veon Bell.
Thank you. Him and Le'Veon Bell both smoking weed together, I guess. I don't know. But then 2015 was a little bit better, and then last year just blew up. Oh, close to 1,200 yards, 18 touchdowns. Dear Lord. If you know, the Eagles are hoping that if they can get a fraction of that, then they'll be literally half of LeGarrette Blount's stats is what they got out of Ryan Matthews last year. So if they can get half of that, then they're still exactly where they were to begin with. So I'm interested to see. Listen, Blount last year, he was the 9th overall back in standard scoring. Like we said, 18 touchdowns, 232 points, 12 games of 10 points or more, 3 games of 20 or more. So he's going to be the guy who, will end up being Carson Wentz's safety net, in my opinion. So I don't know what your guys' thoughts are. I don't feel like he's going – obviously, listen, 18 touchdowns is absurd. I feel like the Eagles are hoping if he can get to 10 – 10 is probably the magic number for them. If he can get to 10 and, be at close to that 1,000 yards rushing, then that's a successful year for them.
I really think Philly, it's going to be a running back by committee approach. LeGarrette Blount isn't going to be on the field for 3 snaps a lot in a row. You got Darren Sproles, Pumphrey, both of those guys make their money catching the football. I think that's what both of them will continue to do. Blunt's going to earn his money at the goal line. He's going to earn his money on short yardage situations, and I wouldn't be surprised if he has like 800 yards and 10 or 11 touchdowns. That's kind of the ceiling I'm putting him at, and I think he's going to earn most of his money this year in games where he scores touchdowns, and that's kind of the player he has been.
Last year he had 299 carries. That's a ton of carries. And then you look at somebody like Ryan Matthews and Wendell Smallwood, and then who was it, Marshall, all those guys, they had a little over 200 carries a total, probably about 230 total. I could see LeGarrette Blount hitting 215, maybe. 299 is out of the realm of possibility. 215, I could probably see him in 190 to 210. That'd be my window for him, probably on the 190 carry-wise. Like you said, Sproles is still going to get his carries. He's still going to get his touches out of the backfield. He had about 150 last year, touches total. And then with Ryan Matthews with 150 total or 160 total, now you're adding Pumphrey. If Corey Clement makes the team, which if he does, he's going to be a special teamer, maybe get a couple carries here and there. But Wendell Smallwood will still get touches. So I just find it hard for Blount to see a lot of carries in that spread offense where they want to throw the ball. But I think he will get some touchdowns. I think he may break that 10 touchdown mark.
If you include Corey Clement, who you just mentioned, that's 6 running backs. You have Matthews, Blount, Sproles, Pumphrey, Smallwood, Clement. Obviously, Matthews is the big one everyone's saying is going to be cut. I think it's going to be extremely hard for Corey Clement to make this team, even on special teams, with both Pumphrey and Sproles, who are going to be special teams guys. How many running backs are on the Philadelphia Eagles roster come week one?
4.
4. And is it Matthews gone and Clement gone?
Yep.
I could see 5 theoretically, because I believe the Eagles did carry quite a bit last year. Even still, that they had Matthews and Sproles and everybody else.
They had Barner still,
too. Yeah, they had Kenyon Barner as well. So I could see possibly five because, like I said, I think Pumphrey may play a little bit of special teams role, and Sproles may do a little bit of punt return. But if Corey Clement can carve out a role on special teams, then it's a very strong possibility. But it all depends on that.
So for fantasy value, guys, just make sure with LeGarrette Blount, listen, there's going to be people overdrafting him, looking strictly at his stats last year. He has a name that people know, that people love. He's going to get drafted very, very early. You're going to be lucky to get a fraction of what he produced last year. Again, in my opinion, if he's at 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns, that's a successful year for him in that offense. So make sure to be careful with where you're drafting LeGarrette Blount. Going forward, Carson Wentz. Very, very interesting quarterback, in my opinion. 24th ranked quarterback in standard leagues. Over 3,700 yards passing. He had 16 touchdowns, 214 points. So someone who is, definitely didn't have a bad year. Had 14 interceptions, which you have to obviously look out for. The big number in my eyes, he had 0 games of 20 points or more. So had a very decent year for a rookie quarterback, but didn't ever overachieve even. He was just kind of that vegetable lasagna quarterback, if you would. Just kind of there, did what he had to get his team to a 7-9 record. A Joe Flacco-esque year, and obviously Joe Flacco is a much more successful quarterback stat-wise, but in his rookie season, not bad for someone who, you know, was being anticipated to be the next Joey Harrington of the league. So I didn't mind his rookie season. Still not necessarily someone that I'm willing to take. Definitely one of those guys who you would watch for on the waiver wire, probably, if you're the type of guy who likes to run with a flyer in the quarterback system. If it's very, very late, 15th, 16th round, it's maybe someone I would draft as a backup if I have a starting quarterback. But still, it's going to be a show-me year for Carson Wentz. What does he bring his sophomore year? Does he grow off of his 3,700-yard 16 and 14, or does he kind of regress a little bit?
Yeah, there's always growing pains for rookie quarterbacks, especially for a rookie quarterback that came from North Dakota State. I like Carson Wentz. He started the year very good, slowed down. I don't think he's going to be fantasy relevant this year, though. But I really like what the Eagles are doing, surrounding him with the weapons. It's only going to make his job easier and his life a lot easier playing quarterback for the Eagles.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's tough, but if you are playing waivers here and there, you can probably pick him up and throw him in a start if you're in a pinch. I believe he had a very good game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then the Cleveland Browns. Yeah, they were at the beginning of the season, so he kind of trailed off a little bit down towards the end against better defenses. But, you know, against weak defenses, it's an all right play if you need to plug and play somebody.
Moving on, I'm going to go to tight end before I go to wide receiver because the wide receiver is a little bit more in depth. I'm going to go to Zach Ertz, someone who missed 2 games last year, was still able to come out and be the 6th ranked tight end in standard fantasy, over 800 yards, receiving 4 touchdowns, scored 183 points. This is just proof that the tight end position is kind of in flux right now. You have your top guys, your Kelce's, your Olsen's, your Gronkowski's, and after that, you have someone like Zach Ertz, who's the number 6 overall tight end, and he missed 2 games. So 183 points. He had 8 games of 10 points or more. That's impressive. You know, that's something you want out of your tight end, having half of his games, you know, being that successful and had 3 20-plus games.
Yeah, you know what I want? I want Zach Ertz to go out there and give me a 38-point game every single week, all right? You look at that week 17 game,
yep.
139 yards and 2 touchdowns. Dude, just do that consistently for me.
The Cowboys didn't care week 17. They didn't care.
Zach Ertz, he's a very good receiving options for the Eagles. And last year, at the end of the season, we saw Ertz kind of blow up. He was that safety blanket for Carson Wentz. Just straight up, that's what he was. He needs to start staying healthy, though. He's been struggling blocking. He needs to become a better blocker, so he's getting close to 100% of those tight end snaps, and they aren't being stolen away from him. Overall, though, he's a good middle to late round tight end. A lot of people are still sleeping on him. I've been able to get him in the 10th round or so in mock drafts that I've been doing lately, and I think that's pretty good value for him, and that's where you should be expecting to draft him.
Everyone needs to do their research on tight ends this year. and it's going to be kind of how it is in the NFL draft. Outside of the top and elite tight ends, it's going to be fill your running backs and wide receivers and maybe even your quarterbacks, and then see where you're at in tight end, because there's guys like Zach Ertz, there's guys like Kyle Rudolph, got names that people aren't necessarily super fond of who are top 10, top 6, top 5 tight ends who you're going to get steals with late in the draft. Do your research, listen to us here at Pony Keg Sports, and you will be fine at the tight end position if you don't get one of those elite guys early. The last thing for the Philadelphia Eagles is their wide receiver position, and it's very interesting to me. I'm ruling the Philadelphia Eagles the band of misfit toys in terms of fantasy relevance. All their top four guys here are guys who have been touted as the guy at certain points in their career and different teams. Dorial Green Beckham in Tennessee early in his career, people thought was going to be a big deal. Alshon Jeffrey in Chicago has been very successful. Torrey Smith has been very successful. Jordan Matthews has been successful, but not achieving the level that people thought he was going to develop into. And even Nelson Aguilar, if you want to add the fifth guy in there, people were touting him as a rookie coming in. If I didn't draft him when he was a rookie and ruin his career just by me drafting him, he probably would have had a great career. This is the show me. Alshon Jeffrey, 1 year. Torrey Smith gets that big contract. Jordan Matthews now has actual competition as a Philadelphia Eagles. Is Nelson Aguilar going to be relevant at all, or is he just going to fall out and not, you know, be on the Eagles for much longer? Going to be very, very interesting to see how their wide receiving core plays out. I'm not sure, honestly, who I would want on this team, on my fantasy team. Everyone on their team would probably be, at the best case scenario, even their very best guy, a number two wide receiver, more than likely a number three.
You know, it's funny you say competition for Jordan Matthews. I think it's help for Jordan Matthews. Yep. It was tough to see Jordan Matthews out there and struggle the way he did, because he had nobody else out there helping him at all. Dorial Green Beckham, he won't even be on the roster when this season comes rolling around. He is not going to make the roster. I'm going to call it here now. He will not be on the team. You'll see somebody like a Bryce Treggs out there rather than Dorial Green Beckham. You don't want to pay somebody that kind of money that can't play special teams, and Treggs can. But going back to your main guys, Alshon Jeffrey, Torrey Smith, Jordan Matthews, I like that trio of wide receivers. Those trio of guys can put up some numbers of fantasy. But the thing is, you're going to see 1 week Torrey Smith is going to put up over 10 points. The other week, you're going to see Jordan Matthews put up over 10 points. Next week, you're going to see Alshon Jeffrey. It's going to be a roller coaster for any of these wide receivers. But I feel like if you invest in one, you're investing as a low wide receiver 2, wide receiver 3 type deal. And the only wide receiver 2 I'm looking at is probably Alshon Jeffrey.
I don't think Torrey Smith's going to be very fantasy relevant this year. But in all honesty, I think the most consistent wide receiver on this team is going to be Jordan Matthews. I just like what he's going to be able to do in the middle. He's going to be lined up primarily in the slot, and we've seen him succeed there. He's done very good in the slot for the Eagles, and especially when there's talent around him. He finally has really good talent around him. Alshon Jeffrey is going to take a lot of coverage away from him, but Alshon's going to be motivated. He just signed a one-year prove-it deal. If this dude can't get hyped for this, can't stay healthy, can't stay on the field in this contract situation that he's in, then I don't know if anything's ever going to make him succeed in the NFL. But I think Jordan Matthews will be consistent this year. Probably be wide receiver 3 is what I'm targeting him as.
Yeah, that's what
I could see him averaging like 8.5, close to 9 points a game.
For all the reasons you just mentioned, and real quick, Josh, you mentioned Dorial Green Beckham. His salary is just under $1 million this year, all guaranteed. So that would be the cap hit for the Philadelphia Eagles. So not out of the realm of possibility for him to get cut. All your points do make sense. When you talk about Matthews and Jeffrey, very, very similar to me in what they bring in the fantasy value. And interested with the addition of LeGarrette Blount, with the deep downfield threat of Torrey Smith, Where does Jordan Matthews, you know, find his success? Alshon Jeffrey, like you said, is in a contract. Prove it now. I believe it's going to be hard for Jordan Matthews to come out there and get it. He had 117 targets last year. That's it. As the guy, 117 targets. You have to imagine that those are going to, you know, 100 targets, maybe?
But the thing is with Jordan Matthews, he's much better in the slot. That's what he does. Even in college, that's what he did. When he first came into the NFL, that's the only reason why I drafted him as a rookie, because I knew he was going to be in the slot, because that is what he does well at.
I agree with you, but who does he take away from? That's my question. Who does he take away from? Because Torrey Smith's going to get his, Alshon Jeffrey's going to get his, and Zach Ertz is going to get his. Those are a lot of already reliable threats what Jordan Matthews is going to have to overcome. This is, again, another prove-it situation. Where is his mentality? Where is he going to stand in the NFL? If Jordan Matthews succeeds, then I feel like that diminishes what Alshon Jeffrey's doing.
I think if anybody he takes it away from is going to be Torrey Smith. Alshon Jeffrey's going to command a lot of balls going his way. Torrey Smith is a very good wide receiver. Don't take me wrong. But at the same time, I think Torrey Smith is your deep threat type guy, stretching the field on the outside.
A pleasant change in scenario for Carson Wentz, having a lot of options in the red zone, having a lot of options throughout. It'll be interesting for the Eagles. That's all I have for fantasy.
All right. Where do we see this team by the end of this year?
Overall, I see the Eagles roster. I think it's improved. I think they have gotten better. They had a solid draft in my eyes, but I don't know if it's enough to compete in the NFC East right now. You got some very good teams ahead of them who finished higher than them last year. I think they're going to improve, but not by much. 8-8 for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Tom, I kind of agree with you. I personally wasn't a huge fan of their draft. I like some of their picks, but I gave it a C+. I don't like the way that they have to start their season. They start their season against a division rival in the Redskins on the road. They go to Kansas City against that tough offense. They play the New York Football Giants at home in a rough division game, and then they play the Chargers on the road. So a tough start to the season. I would not be surprised to see them 1-3, even 0-4. It would not shock me. I have them very, very similar right now going into this year, 7-9.
I got 5 wins.
Five wins.
I don't think you're crazy, Josh. Yeah, I really don't.
I really wanted to put it at 7 wins, the same amount. I don't know. I feel like they added quite a bit on offense with Alshon and Torrey Smith and LeGarrette Blount. I don't know. I just think that defense is still lacking, even though Sidney Jones, I think they're still a year away. And then add Sidney Jones to the draft that they're going to do next year. Maybe I'll have them at 9 wins. And then we'll see from there. But this year, I'm going to go five wins for them.
I mean, to your point, games that they're actually that just looking at their schedule that I have them favored in, not necessarily, you know, not a pick 'em, not a favorite. I have 49ers at home. I have them favored in. Bears at home. I have them favored in. Rams on the road. I have them favored in. That's it. All the other games are either pick 'em or they're not favored.
It's so tough.
It's very, very rough, and it's rough for them that they play in an extremely tough division.
And wrong year to draw the AFC West.
Right? Yeah, this is a team 2 to 3 years from now is going to be very, very, very competitive.
All right, anything else?
That's all I got in the Eagles.
That's it.
All right, guys, hope you guys enjoyed. Again, we are Pony Keg Sports. You guys can check us out on our website, ponykegsports.com. You guys can also check us out on Twitter, at Pony Keg Sports, at Pony Keg Tom, at Pony Keg Tim. And you guys can check out our friends on CleatGeeks.com. Check out them. And then also check them out on their Twitter, at CleatGeeks. Tweet them. Let them know that we are the ones that sent you their way. And then be on the lookout for our next couple episodes that we have out. It's going to be the rest of the NFC East, of course.
Are we doing the Bucks?
No, we are not doing the Bucks.
All right.
But yeah, again, it's going to be the Cowboys, the Giants, the Redskins, and of course, this episode was the Eagles. So please comment, like, share, do whatever you guys got to do. We would appreciate it. So until we see you next time, thanks.